the Lord's house this evening. Appreciate the song service. Enjoy that, Brother John. You're right in tune with where we're going tonight. Man, that's a blessing. Lord knew what songs we needed tonight. I love that first song. I have actually never sung, never heard that song, but boy, it's sure a blessing. I enjoyed the words to that song. It goes right along with our message tonight, so that's going to be a blessing. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. We're going to dive right in tonight. And I want to go ahead and preface this message tonight with this fact, and I hope you'll be here every Sunday night. This is one of my favorite services, Sunday night service. Just something special about Sunday night service, a good group of folks, and just it tends to be your faithful folks. And man, it's a blessing to be in Sunday night service. Sunday night services have always been a blessing to me, and so I hope you plan to be here faithfully. And what we're going to do tonight is basically just give an introduction to a series of messages I want to preach. And all these messages are going to be along this line of thought, and it's the God-glorifying life. And so we're going to kind of just jump into an introduction to that tonight and really kind of give a text scripture for that. And then what I plan to do is this, is tonight we'll kind of cover what it means, what a God-glorifying life looks like, and just a overview kind of a range tonight, but then we're going to get down into some of the specifics, and I want to deal with just several different areas of our lives and how we can use each area of our life to bring glory and honor to God. I believe that's what God wants from us. God wants us to honor Him with every area of our lives. And so let's stand tonight as we read a couple of verses of Scripture over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight, and we're just going to read verse 19 and verse 20, the last two verses in the chapter, and then we'll get started this evening. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And then verse 20 is going to be our text verse tonight, where it says this, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. We thank you for the wonderful time this morning around the Word of God. And Father, we thank you for visitors. God, hope and trust that we were able to be a blessing to them. We look forward to seeing them back next week. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to send visitors our way. God, it's our desire to reach them with the gospel and, Father, to help them to grow in their walk with the Lord. But Father, I just pray that you'd meet with us once again here tonight. Father, speak to our hearts. God, just give us that which we need to receive tonight. And help us to have a receptive heart, God, as you would deal in our hearts tonight. Help us to have a willingness just to be obedient to what you would desire for us to do. And Father, we thank you for what you'll do. We give you the praise and the honor for it all. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. This is a very simple passage of Scripture, very simple verse, but well, there's a lot of material right here in just that one verse. But this is going to be kind of our text that runs through everything we talk about with the God-glorifying life, because this just breaks it right down to where we live. "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the first thing we've got to understand, in order for our life to glorify God, we've got to understand what it means to glorify God. And so, first of all, I want to give you a definition. I always love going to the old Webster's 1828 dictionary, just a very valuable resource. If you want to know what these words that you're finding in your King James Bible, hey, I'll tell you, there's some in there that I've never heard before. But I love to go to that old dictionary and look them up, because it'll give you the definition of what it meant when these words were translated. Sometimes words change meaning. If we'll go and we'll look it up there, and I'll tell you this, you don't have to go out and buy a Webster's 1828 dictionary. They're expensive. I've got one sitting on the shelf, and I know they are expensive. But just get online. There's a resource. I don't know what the website is, but if you'll Google Webster's 1828, it'll bring it right up. You can look up any word you want to look up. But let me give you the Webster's definition for glorify, because oftentimes, know it or not, whether you know it or not, Noah Webster was a Christian. And he was a wonderful Christian man. And his definitions often, he'll use Scripture verses to illustrate the definition. And so we find this in when you look up the word glorify, here's what Webster says glorify means. It means to praise, to magnify and honor in worship, to ascribe honor to, and notice this, in thought, action, or words. That's what it means to glorify something. So what we desire as Christians and what the Scripture commands is that we glorify God with our lives. So what our lives need to do is they need to lift up the Savior. They need to point others to the Savior. They need to magnify Him. That means make Him great. You know, I preached a message before I left Arkansas on magnify the Lord with me. And you think about that thought, and to magnify, we think of a magnifying glass and how it magnify something, makes it appear larger. And that's what we're to do as Christians. We're to magnify the Lord. Make Him appear great in the eyes of others. You and I cannot make God any 1 ounce greater than He already is. He is the greatest. He's the fairest among 10,000. There's no one greater than He, but we can make Him appear greater based upon how we live our lives. Or we can make Him appear smaller based upon how we live our lives. So our lives ought to glorify God. They ought to bring honor to His name, rather than the opposite of that, which would be to bring a reproach, to bring shame upon the name of Christ. So I hope that here tonight, for those of us that are saved, those of us who have trusted Christ, I hope there's a sincere desire within your heart to live a life that brings glory and honor to God. Now, why should we do that? Let's begin now in verse number 20, and we're just going to simply break apart this verse into 3 points tonight, because I believe this will get us to where we're going as far as the introduction to this series of messages. The first part of the verse here, it says this, and we'll tie it even into verse 19, because he writes here and he says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" And he says, "Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." I hope as Christians tonight we understand that fact, that we are, what my life is no longer mine. If I have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ tonight, my life no longer belongs to me. I do not have the authority now to go and to live my life any way that I please. Hey, that's what so many churches are teaching today. You just get saved, hey, you're good, you've got a get out of hell free card, and now you just go and live any way you want, and everything will be all right. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because we have a responsibility as believers. We have been bought with a price. And that price is a great price. That's why I love that first song we sang tonight. And we're going to go and look at the scripture where that song comes from here in just a moment. But the simple fact is this. We are bought with a price. What is that price? Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. And we'll see what the price is. We sang that song and it says, neither silver nor gold. And friend, the price that was paid to purchase our redemption was so much greater, so much higher than silver or gold or diamonds or anything of great value. It was even more valuable, even of greater value than that. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says this in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things," those things that are temporary. Hey, believe it or not, silver and gold, one of these days is all going to perish. The value will be gone. There'll be no more value in silver and gold. There'll be no more value in diamonds or any of our possessions down here. Those are corruptible things. As silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But notice in verse 19, "But," so he says, "you're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That was the price that was paid for our redemption. You and I tonight, if we are truly saved, are a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And as so, we have a responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ to submit ourselves to Him and live a life that brings glory and honor to His name. I think about Psalm chapter 40, and I think about what God has done for me in my life, and these words ring true when it says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Hopefully you can testify to the same tonight, that God has done a wonderful work in your life. And as such, He deserves a life that brings glory and honor to Him, rather than a life that brings shame and reproach upon the name of our Savior. Friend, our responsibility is this. It's to live a life so that others may see, so that others may know. I think about the Scripture where He talks about that we are always to have an answer for those that ask of the hope that is within us. But the problem so often today is that nobody's asking, because they don't see that hope that's within us, because our lives don't show forth the glory of God. Friend, God has called us to glorify Him in the way that we live our lives, and we see that here. It's because He has bought us. We belong to Him. As you read commentaries and different things about this verse of Scripture, it's even to the point that we are bought as a purchased slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what these words are speaking of. You and I now totally and completely belong to Him. If you've totally and completely placed your faith in Christ, like we talked about this morning, now you belong totally and completely, every part, to Him. The problem so often is this, that we only want to give Him part. We just want to give Him the leftovers. We want to take and we want to say, well, Lord, this part of my life is mine and I want to hold on to this part, but I'll give you Sunday. Now, Monday through Friday, those are mine. I've got to have those, Lord. You don't know everything I've got going on. You don't know all the things I've got to do. And so I've got to keep those, but I'll give you Sunday. And hey, maybe even on a good week, I'll give you Saturday. But hey, God wants it all. Friend, the thing we need to understand tonight is this, that we can glorify God down in our workplace. We can glorify God no matter where we find ourselves and no matter what we find ourselves doing. If we're living our life as we ought to live it, we can glorify God in every single moment. And that's what God desires, because that's what makes the difference in a lost and a dying world, is a life that glorifies God no matter where they find themselves. So I want to see, now what does it mean and how are we to do this? So we understand we should glorify God because we're a purchased possession of His. But how are we to go about that? What does this involve? What does this entail? Let's turn back over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look with me in the second half of the verse. In the second half of verse number 20, so we read there in the first part, He says, you're bought with a price. That's why we are to glorify God. Because you and I are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But now He says, therefore glorify God. Notice what He says. He lists two things here. And these are going to be our other two points in the message tonight. He says, therefore glorify God. Therefore, hey, if you ever find therefore in the Bible, you need to figure out what it's there for. I don't know who told me that, but it was good counsel because it refers back to something. He says, because you are bought with a price. He says, therefore glorify God. First of all, in your body. In your body. And then we can go on down to the end of the verse because it's God's. You understand tonight that your body, that physical form that you're carrying around, now belongs to Almighty God. What does that mean? It said there in verse number 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. If you're here tonight and you're saved, the Spirit of God now dwells inside of you. You are a temple, literally, of the Holy Ghost tonight. And so I thought about that, and I thought about this. So many folks look at that, and they don't understand what all that entails, because now we are to yield our bodies to Him. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. Let's turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, probably just a page or two over. It says in verse number 17, notice what He says. Let's begin reading verse 16. He says, know ye not that you're the temple of God? Sounds familiar, right? He just said the same thing. But He says, know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? But now notice in verse 17, He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It says, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So friend, let me tell you tonight, what my counsel to you tonight and the counsel from the Word of God tonight is this, that we're to yield our bodies to Him. Our body is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Our body is not to be defiled. And so we think about our body, and you think about just about everything that you and I do involves this whole body. Hey, if you didn't have a body, you wouldn't have been able to walk in here tonight, right? If you didn't have a body, you wouldn't have been able to get in that car and drive down the road today. All of the things, all of the action, all of our behavior, everything that happens, we involve this body. But now let's liken this to the temple back in the Old Testament. We think about the temple, and you know something about the temple? There were only certain things that were allowed in to the temple. Hey, the same should be true for us and our bodies. If our body is to bring glory and honor to God, there are certain things that we ought not to allow to come into this temple. Hey, I could stand here tonight and I could do my best to give you an exhaustive list, but I don't think I need to do that. Because I think tonight, for most of us, we understand what should and what should not enter into this temple. We think about things like alcohol, and we think about things like tobacco, and all different manner of things, and those things. We cannot. I don't care what the world says, you cannot drink alcohol to the glory of God. It cannot be done. You cannot smoke a cigarette to the glory of God. It cannot be done. And there are a whole host of other things that we could name tonight. But just know this, that those things, when they come into this temple, they defile the temple. And we now do not glorify God. I heard a story once of a pastor who had always smoked cigarettes, and he never really saw it to be a big deal. But then all of a sudden, he watched as one of the children in the church just playing there, had something, and I don't know if it was a pencil, if it was a pen, or what it was, but pretended to be smoking. And all of a sudden, it hit him. What I'm doing is not glorifying God. That little child is going to follow in my footsteps, and it's not bringing glory and honor to God. In fact, it destroys. That's why those things do not glorify God, is because they're destructive to this temple. And I don't know about you, but I want this temple to be in as good a shape as it can be in so that I can bring glory and honor to God. If I'm to serve Him, hey, I want to keep this thing fit for use. Hey, that's what the responsibility was of the priest back in the Old Testament days, was to keep the temple ready for use. Not to allow those things in that would defile it, that would destroy it, that would be destructive to the temple. So friend, we have a responsibility. So think about, as we think about yielding our body to God and bringing glory and honor to God with our body, we've got to think about what we put in. But we've also got to think about what comes out. Friend, what comes out of our body is of vital importance. I think about even down to our words. Does our conversation, does it glorify God? Hey, it's real easy to talk right when we're amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ here at church. But I also know this, it's very easy to fall into the wrong conversation when we're down at the workplace, when we're around family members who maybe are unsaved. And hey, there's a temptation to fall right in line with them. And our conversation now no longer is bringing glory and honor to God. Our bodies, every action that they are a part of, God desires for them to bring glory and honor to Him. So our actions, our words, our actions especially, we think about our bodies, even down to how we dress them up and how we present ourselves, ought to bring glory and honor to God. There ought to be a difference in us and the world. And I used to tell our teenagers a lot of times, I'd tell them this, if I stood you up here and I stood you next to a college student in the middle of the week on one day when you weren't expecting it, and I stood the college student there who's lost, doesn't know a thing about God, never been in church, and I stood you next to him, would we be able to tell the difference? Because if not, we're not glorifying God. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we're to be different from the world, the way in which we present ourselves, the way in which we dress, all of those things. There ought to be a difference between us and the world. God's commanded that. But now let me turn. I'm just going to read you this verse of Scripture. You don't have to turn there tonight. If you'd like to, you can. But I'm going to turn over to Philippians. And I want to read you a verse of Scripture here because I believe this is what God has asked us to do. Here it sums up very nicely in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. When we think about our bodies and our behavior, our actions, our words, all of those things, this is what God has asked us to do right here in verse number 15. He says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Why? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know why it's so important that we yield our bodies to Him and that we do our best with everything that comes out of our body, everything that goes in, and all of our actions, all of our behaviors, how we respond to others, how we relate to others, all of those things that our bodies are involved in. You know why that's so important? Because you and I shine as lights to the world. We're a representation. When you name the name of Christ, people all of a sudden, they notice. They pay attention. And they're going to see how it is that you respond. They're going to see how it is that you dress. They're going to see how it is that you talk. And they're going to relate that to Jesus Christ because you call yourself a Christian. So friend, it's vitally important what we do with this body and that this body is used as it is supposed to be, as a temple of the Holy Ghost, as a temple that brings glory and honor to God. That's what the temple was for, was to worship God. And that's what you and I were created to do. To worship God and to bring glory to His name. And friend, we do that by yielding our bodies to Him. There's a lot of folks that they think like this. They say, well, God sees my heart. And that's true. The Bible does say God looks upon the heart. But they fail to see the beginning portion of that because it says, men look on the outward appearance, and God looks on the heart. So, hey, it's vitally important, and we'll get to that in just a moment, where our heart is at. But it's also vitally important what the outward appearance looks like. Because, believe it or not, there's nobody out there that's going to see my heart. No matter how hard they try, they'll not see my heart. But they will see my outward appearance. And I don't think that Scripture is just talking about my clothes. I think it's talking about my actions, my behavior, my conversation. Everything that's summed up. Everything that I yield this body to. Every action, every choice that I make. All the activities that I commit this body to ought to be able to glorify God. You know what? You can even go, I love to play basketball. You know what? You can play basketball and bring glory and honor to God. Hey, I love to play basketball with groups. And hey, when I played basketball there in Rogers, sometimes I'd play with some unsavory characters. There were some folks that, boy, they'd get roughed up and they'd get angry and they'd start letting the curse words fly. But you know what I did? I tried to honor God. Hey, it's real easy. I'm competitive. Man, if I'm going to play basketball, I'm going to play to win, and I'm competitive, and it's real easy for me to get caught up in that same spirit. But hey, I've got to yield myself to the Lord and say, God, I want to glorify You as I'm out here on this basketball court. Hey, I've got to manage my temper. I've got to keep my temper right. I've got to keep the words that come out of my mouth right. And hey, I've got to guard my testimony among that group of people so that I can play basketball in such a way that glorifies God. Hey, the same is true for whatever you like to do. The same is true when you go out to the workplace tomorrow. You're going to have an opportunity to glorify God in how you respond to situations, in the conversation that takes place around you. And you're going to have an opportunity to glorify God as you yield your body to Him. But hey, the Apostle Paul is just telling us here, hey, it belongs to Him. So what needs to happen is we need to yield it to Him. Let Him use it as He pleases in such a way that it brings glory and honor to His name. But now there's another part to this verse. And let's finish up that first thought before we move on to the next one. Because I love that probably the greatest verse that relates to this is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And this is what God desires of every one of us as Christians when He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's what God wants. God wants a body that's holy. God wants His temple to be holy. He wants it to be right. He's not impressed with just any old thing. He wants it to be holy unto Him. So friend, we've got to yield our bodies to Him. If we have a desire for our lives to bring glory and honor to God, we've got to yield our bodies totally and completely to His control. Hey, before we go out and get involved in an activity, ask yourself, can I do this to the glory of God? Before we allow something into our body, ask ourselves, can I do this to the glory of God? Any of those things. Let's ask ourselves that question. Can I do this? Can I allow my body to participate in this in such a way that it brings glory and honor to Almighty God? But now notice the second part of the verse, because He didn't say just your body. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body. And then notice the second half. He says, and in your spirit, which is also God's. He says, which are God's. Both belong to Him. So God wants it all. God wants the combination of our body and our spirit. Because believe it or not, tonight you could have, as the offering plate was passed, you could have dropped your tithe in the offering plate tonight. But you know what? You could have done that in such a way. You say, well, hey, I dropped it in there. Doesn't that bring glory to God? Hey, it should. Well, guess what? God sees more than just the action. God sees the spirit with which you gave. The spirit here is talking about our disposition, our attitude, our motivations. And God looks deeper than just the outward. If we're to bring glory and honor to God, we've got to not only do the right things, we've got to have the right attitude, the right spirit, the right motivation. That's key. Hey, you can drop a tithe in the offering plate with a frown on your face and that frustration in your mind thinking, boy, I can't afford to do this. I can't believe they expect me to give 10% of my paycheck and drop that in the offering plate. So I know it's the right thing to do, but hey, that's the wrong spirit. And God identifies that and God sees that and God is not pleased. And even more than that, God is not glorified in that. Friend, you can even teach your Sunday school class. You can go out soul winning. You can do all the right things. But if you do the right things with the wrong spirit, it's not a life that glorifies God. God wants it all. God wants the combination of the yielding of our body to Him, but He also wants the combination of our yielding our spirit to Him, our attitude, our disposition, our motivations to Him. He wants us to do the right thing with the right spirit. And I've heard people say this, and you've probably heard the same folks that maybe have an anger problem. And they say, well, it's just the way I'm made. It's just the way God made me. I've just got to tell you, I can't help it. And that's not true. You can't help it. And God wants to help it. God wants to give you the right spirit. But hey, you've got to yield your spirit to Him. Let Him have control of our attitude. Hey, a lot of times, that's the thing that we get carried away with. And hey, I'll tell you, if I'm going to ever lose my testimony somewhere, it's probably going to be on a basketball court. Because I am. I'm competitive, and I'll get carried away. And hey, if I'm not careful, if I don't be certain to yield my spirit to God, hey, I can get carried away, and I can get that same attitude, and I can start mouthing off to them, and I can start bumping them and doing the very same things they're doing. And that's when it ceases to glorify God, because I've now got the wrong spirit. So God is concerned with both. He's not concerned with just the yielding of our bodies to Him, but He also wants us to yield our spirit to Him, to allow Him to shape and to mold our attitudes, our disposition, our outlook on life, our perspective on things. God wants to shape and to mold that into such a way that we can do the right things with the right spirit. And through that is when God is most greatly glorified. It's when we do the right thing with the right spirit. And that's what God desires of us. If we're to live a life that's going to bring glory and honor to Almighty God, He's got to have both. Hey, you can't just give Him the spirit and say, God, You can control my attitude, but I'm going to control what I do. And you can't do the opposite and say, God, I'm going to let You control what I do, but I'm just going to keep control of my spirit. You've got to let Him have control of both. They've got to be totally yielded to Him. I mean, that's what these verses are saying, because they belong to Him anyhow. But let me tell you this, He's not going to forcefully take control. Hey, I've never yet had God shove me out of the bed on Sunday morning to get me to church. It hadn't happened that way. I've got to yield my body to Him and say, Lord, what do You want me to do today? Hey, what a wonderful thing that we ought to do every day of our lives. Lord, what do You want to do with my life today? God, what can I do to serve You today? Lord, is there anything wrong with my spirit today? Lord, is there anything wrong with my attitude? God, would You reveal those times in my life when I've got the wrong spirit, when I've had a bad spirit? Hey, I'll tell you, there's nothing like a bad spirit to cause division in churches. There's so many churches across our land tonight that there's folks who are doing the right thing, but they're doing the right thing with the wrong spirit, and there's division in the church. Friend, I've watched it. I've seen it personally. I've seen folks who serve, but they serve with the wrong spirit. Instead of that heart of love and compassion and serving out of a love for the Lord, they're serving just because it's their duty and they feel like they have to. And friend, it's not long before they get bitter and they get angry against God and they're causing division in a church. So friend, we've got to be certain we yield our spirit to Him. Brother Jacob and I were just talking before service about some of these young ladies and what a sweet spirit they have. And I'll tell you, that's of the Lord. And that's what God wants. God wants these young ladies to have a sweet spirit. God doesn't want a young lady that's coming in and angry and hateful and got that loud spirit and that. Hey, God wants them to be a meek and a quiet spirit and that sweet spirit that I see in some of them. Hey, what a blessing it is. Well, God's concerned with that. God wants us to have the right spirit. So, friend, I want to tell you tonight, if we're to live a life, hey, I hope you're with me tonight and you've got a desire to live a God-glorifying life. Friend, I've for a long period of time, this is kind of the way it was, and I can still remember the day as a young person when I went to a youth meeting, and this is kind of how my life was. There were many areas of my life that I had submitted to God. Hey, by this point, I began to walk with the Lord. I had grown as a Christian, and there were a lot of areas that I had allowed God access to, and I had just totally submitted it to Him. But there were a few areas of my life that I said, God, I don't want You touching that. That's mine. And I remember I was in a youth meeting once, and this guy was up there, and he was talking about it. He said, what you need to do is give God the key to every door in your life. And all those doors, all those areas of your life that you've had control over for so long, and you've kept them locked up by lock and key, He said, what you need to do is just turn the keys over to the Lord. And it was that night the Lord spoke to me and said, hey, that's what you've done. You've got some of those areas of your life locked away, and you're keeping them under your own control. But I want those areas too. And hey, it was from that point that I decided I want to yield every part of my life to Him. I don't want Him to have control of the certain areas that I'm comfortable with Him having control over, but I want Him to have control of it all. I want Him to work in every area of my life. I want Him to work in my home. I want Him to work when I was down at the job. I want Him to work when I'm down there playing basketball. I want Him to be able to work in my life, wherever I find myself, in every area of my life. I want God to have control. Hey, if God tells me today to stop playing basketball and don't ever do it again, hey, I hope that I'd have the right spirit. I'd yield my body to the Lord and say, Lord, if that's what You want, that's what I'll do. I don't think that's going to be the case, but hey, if that were the case, I hope that I could yield myself to Him, have the right spirit, and say, God, it's Yours anyway. You do with it as You wish. Because that's what God wants. God wants us to just come to Him and say, Lord, it's all Yours. You just give me the instructions. You just tell me what You want to do with it, and I'll do it. Now, I'm not here to tell you tonight you shouldn't have a hobby. I'm not here tonight to tell you you should everything you should do 24 hours a day, you ought to just read your Bible and pray, go to church. Hey, that's not it. Hey, we don't even see that in Scripture. We see the disciples even. They came apart for times of rest and they were involved in other things. But we do see they allowed God to have control. That's a life that's going to glorify God, is a life that God has the control. So friend, tonight I just ask you this. Do you want to live a God-glorifying life? I hope that's your desire. We're going to go through these next several weeks and we're going to deal with several issues. I think next week the one I want to deal with is a prayer life that glorifies God. You know, there's a right and a wrong way to pray. There's a prayer life that honors God and there's a prayer life that doesn't, that glorifies Him. Friend, I want to deal with in another week, I'm going to deal with worship that glorifies God. You know, there's a right and a wrong way to worship God. Then I want to deal also with this. Do you know that we can glorify God in our relationships with others? Whether that's our relationship between a husband and wife, whether that's the relationship between a parent and a child, whether that's the relationship with those who are out there and who are lost and the saved, God can be glorified in our relationships. But friend, there's so many areas of our life that we can look at and see that God can be glorified. So, hey, I hope that you'll just tonight begin this journey with me and say, let's just have a desire to live a God-glorifying life. Hey, that's what He wants, isn't it? Let's read that verse one more time. You're bought with a price. Hey, the precious blood of Christ has purchased us. So, therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, it all belongs to Him. Let's act like it. Hey, let's act like our body belongs to Him. Let's act like our spirit belongs to Him. Let's everybody stand there, their feet, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. Hope it's been a blessing tonight. And